This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Well, just wow. Back and forth, an incredible baseball game that lasts 4 hours and 50 minutes. But the Yankees advance to the American League Division Series as they take the two games from the Cleveland Indians. 10-9, the final score. And as we tape this at 2:01 a.m. on October the 1st, the Yankees come off of what was perhaps their most impressive win of the season in a few different ways. Number one, the fact that they were facing adversity throughout the course of the night, from a dumb decision by Major League Baseball to start the game late and right into the middle of a rainstorm. They, instead of starting at 7 o'clock, opted to try to wait it out, and all indications were that the real rain wasn't going to be coming until closer to 8, except they started at 7:50, and it completely messed up Masahiro Tanaka, and it took away the ability for him to maybe end up being a six-inning pitcher on the night. But instead, he gives up four in the first inning, in and around that rain delay. The Yankees fight their way back with Gio Urshela hitting a grand slam in a massive spot. And then they also have to come back a few more times after their bullpen gave it up a couple of times. After Zach Britton is walking people with two outs in an inning to really set the Indians up to come back and tie the game. After they find themselves with Jonathan Loaisiga walking Delino DeShields and Francisco Lindor, and it gives them an opportunity to take a 9-8 lead in the eighth inning. And then they just get play after play after play throughout the course of the night that they need in the right spots. And that biggest play of them all was Gio Urshela turning the double play to end the eighth inning, a diving stop, and from his butt fired a rocket to second base to start the 5-4-3 double play. It was electric to see that play. It was unbelievable. And you could almost see the little lift it gave the Yankees coming off the field to get set for the top of the ninth inning, to give them an opportunity to still win that game. Because that game, very easily in that situation, could have gotten blown wide open. But Urshela, who just has proven himself to be a remarkable player for the Yankees over the last 2 years, has nothing short of the most special night of his career.
That was one of the best game I ever played in my life. That was a great game, fighting all game. We got a couple delays. We got like two delays, but the team always staying in the positive focus. Everybody with the same goal, and we made it.
Not just the grand slam, not just the double play, but then again in the ninth inning, on an 0-2 pitch, lining a single into center field on a ball that was down low and close to the dirt. It was a fantastic at-bat for him to come through in that spot. And Gio Urshela won the Yankee championship belt, so to speak. He got awarded the belt after the game, and with good reason, because on a few different occasions, he kept them in this game. And it was a game for the ages. And as we know, Aaron Boone has been involved in just a few of them, including one of real note. And this one is right up there.
That game was a lot of fun to be a part of. You know, I'm 47 years old. I've watched a lot of baseball. I've watched a lot of my dad's playoffs games, been in some really big games. And I don't know how you top that one, the back and forth, just the amount of big moments and plays by different guys. You know, we're excited in that room. We're excited for the opportunity to continue our quest now in San Diego to try and win a championship. And it's nice to, with it being so long and after 1 a.m., I'm glad we don't have to come back and play tomorrow.
It might have gotten a little bit dicey if they had a game later on tonight, especially if J-Hap didn't have it. But fortunately for the Yankees, they don't find themselves in that situation. We'll talk more about the bullpen and the issues that Franklin got exposed in just a moment. But there's also the experience factor that comes out of winning a game like this. Remember, this is not a terribly experienced team overall. It's still a pretty young team in a lot of ways, but winning a game like this can go a long way.
In adverse situations at times, you know, when you go through those battles and you have success, sometimes you stumble, but when you have success in those, I think it gives you a little bit more confidence moving forward that when you're in those tough situations. And obviously, if we're going to go far in this, there's going to be more tough situations we find ourselves in, and I think the experience of going through that and having success hopefully is something that helps us.
Takeaway number two is the fact that the Yankees shouldn't even be messing around in the least with thinking about the long term with DJ LeMahieu. You know, back in spring training, they did, the first spring training, broach the topic of a long-term contract with DJ LeMahieu and his representatives. That happened. But then it kind of got shut down with everything that happened during the course of the season. And with all of the COVID and everything, not having a better handle on what things are going to look like financially over the next year, you understand why that was the case. Now there's no excuse for him to not be a Yankee for the long term. He comes through with the game-winning hit, and you just knew that he would. That's the thing. You can put someone like him in that situation, and you just know he's going to deliver. I asked this question on the show earlier in the night as we were giving you a little bit of a pregame prior to the first pitch when they had the rain delay. Has there been somebody that has come into the organization and fit in so seamlessly in the last 20 years as DJ LeMahieu has? There's never been any instant of a slump. There's never been any intimidation from the media in any way. This has just been someone who has put on the pinstripes and in every way possible, from coming through in the clutch to winning a batting title, to what should have been an MVP in 2019, considering all of the injuries around him. And then just every time he's called upon to do something for the team, whether it's play first, second, or third, whether it's to deliver in a huge spot, whatever it is, the guy never seems to disappoint. Analytics might tell you that someone at 31 years old, you don't want to pay for the long term. And I don't think we're talking about a 7-year contract here by any stretch. This is an opportunity for LeMahieu to get paid, and that probably looks somewhere like 4 years between 90 and 100 million, or maybe even 5 and 120. I don't know about you, but I would have more than enough faith in LeMahieu to be here for that period of time and still be contributing at the very least at the end, based on what we've seen the last 2 years. You don't need to get caught up in thinking about somebody like a Francisco Lindor. That's just silly at this point. You have found the prototypical Yankee from the outside, and you do not let that guy get away. Number three, Gary Sanchez. Let's give him some credit, shall we? Because there were a couple of instances in this game where he came up with a good defensive play or two. Runner on third, blocking a ball, preventing a wild pitch. Didn't have a great moment later with Aroldis Chapman on the strikeout toward the end of the game that got Mercado on. But he did homer in the game on a ball that carried out to right field. And in the biggest of spots, Gary Sanchez didn't do what he has done all year. He didn't strike out. He didn't look terrible at the plate. He delivered what you needed him to deliver, and that was a sacrifice fly to tie the game. The pressure does not need to be on Sanchez right now. And I have tried to sing this song for a while. All he needs to be is average. That's it. Everybody else around him can pick up the slack. And what does an average to above average player do in a situation where with one out in the ninth inning, he can give his team a chance to tie the game with a sacrifice fly? He delivers with that sacrifice fly. Doesn't have to be a grand slam. Doesn't have to be a three-run double. Just get the run home. And that's what he did. And for Sanchez, we can talk about what he can be and what he has been before. Right now, he just has to focus on being someone that is not going to hurt you and is going to make the right decisions in terms of calling the game and is not going to really crush you with the plate. Be average. You know? And I obviously, you never want to deliver that message to a player, but this is a guy that has been through the ringer mentally, and there's no doubt it has taken a toll on him. Hey, Gary, just go out there and play. That's all that matters right now. Just go out there and play. And they've tried a lot of different things. And you finally saw Aaron Boone, who has really gone to the mat for him so many times over the last few years, deliver that message of, it's not given that he's going to play every day. And we've seen that Higashioka is going to be Gerrit Cole's catcher, but Boone even insinuated before this series that he may not play in those other games if things are not going right. They may play Kyle Higashioka in the spot. No. If Gerrit Cole's not pitching, Gary Sanchez is going to be behind the plate. And on Wednesday night, he showed that as long as he can contribute like that, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Just don't kill him. And when they need something like a sacrifice fly, get the fly ball. Get the run home. And Aaron Boone, as you would expect, was effusive in his praise of Sanchez after the game.
He's shown me a lot the last couple of days, you know. And you know, first when I let him know that, you know, Higgy was catching the first game, you know, he took it well. He was ready. He was prepared. He was ready for any situation if his number was called, and that was apparent to me. And then, you know, I thought he did a great job tonight behind the plate and obviously a huge hit. And, you know, I think Gary just wants to win and be a part of a winner. And he's been a huge part of this team now for several years. And I don't think he gets enough credit for being what a good person and what a great teammate that he is. And that's shown up here these last few days.
There's been the little kick in the pants, and then there's the pat on the back like that after the manager has had his back for the last few years, frankly, in all of his struggles. Let's talk a little bit about the bullpen, because we are looking at a situation that is potentially dicey moving forward. The Yankees found themselves in a bad spot tonight because of the weather and because Tanaka gave up those runs in the first inning. He settled down nicely to get you into the fifth inning at the very least, but once he hit that 70-pitch mark, it was pretty clear in that fifth inning that he was done for the evening. So they got him out of the game, and they have to turn to Chad Green earlier than they want. Everything got moved up and accelerated in terms of the trusted bullpen hands that they have. And right now, that's three guys. And it's Chad Green, it's Zach Britton, and it's Aroldis Chapman. None of the three of them acquitted themselves great. Green came in and gave up the two-run double that allowed the Indians to tie the game back up in that fifth inning. Yankees were fortunate enough to take the lead with two more in the sixth. And then what happened in the bottom of the seventh inning? I mean, to me, this was unconscionable. You have Zach Britton, who has come into the game in the sixth, again, much earlier than you want, gotten some big outs. Then in the seventh inning, he got the huge double play. And in the seventh inning, retires the first two guys and then goes and walks Reyes and Santana, or Santana and Reyes in that order, with two men out. I mean, that's crushing. That's absolutely crushing. And where you thought you were going to catch a huge break, because Sandy Alomar made a massive mistake by, in theory, taking out Naylor, who had killed the Yankees, and put in Jordan Luplow, who was hitting 199. Well, it gave Boone that chance to get him out of the game at that point. And he did, but he has to turn to Jonathan Loaisiga there. And Loaisiga promptly gives up the double to Luplow, and next thing you know, we're right back where we started. You know, if you're not turning to Adam Ottavino in that situation, when exactly are you turning to Adam Ottavino moving forward? This is something that over the next 3 to 4 days, the Yankees are going to have to figure out. Who else can they trust? And we talked about this for the last week of the year, frankly, after they clinched a playoff spot. It wasn't about who you could trust. It was about who else you can trust. And they did not answer that question. You know, there was all kinds of different speculation going on social media. Who is going to be that extra guy tonight? And it turned out to be Loaisiga. And Loaisiga gives it up to a 199 hitter. You know, you have to have that guy be Ottavino. That's what it boils down to. And look, he's been bad at times this year. There's no doubt. But you have to find a way to make sure that Adam Ottavino is that guy. And it can't just be about righties and being a righty specialist, all that kind of thing, finding certain lanes for him to be successful. No, he has to be somebody that you can turn to consistently, because three is not a good enough number out of the Yankee bullpen. They were fortunate to get more length Wednesday night than they usually would from their primary guys. That's not going to happen throughout the course of the rest of the playoffs. You can't ask Chapman to go two innings, especially when you're playing the next day. You can't ask Britton to go an inning in the third and come into the game in the sixth inning. Can't be the case. So the Yankees will need to decide who they are going to give that first opportunity to. That person has to be Adam Ottavino. All in all, though, and just an incredibly solid, solid win in coming from behind numerous times after falling in a 4-0 hole and then taking a 2-run lead late in the game, seeing it evaporate, falling behind late, coming back, resilience. Resilience was great to see, because the streaky Yankees of the year, as we know, in that 4-0 hole, may have just bailed. That might have been it, but that was not the case. And now they are headed to the American League Division Series to face the Tampa Rays, who owned them this year, beat them 8 out of 10 times. And that is definitely fresh in the manager's mind.
They've been the best team in our league all year. So we're excited to go play the best team and hopefully, you know, hopefully have our way with them this time. We know they're going to be a challenge. We know they're going to be tough. We know they'll be ready for us. But we look forward to that challenge, and hopefully we can turn the tables on them.
Well, the Yankees will open up that series in San Diego against the Rays on Monday. They will likely travel later on today and then have an off day on Friday before a couple of workouts in San Diego over the weekend. We will get you set for that series on Monday with Savages in the Box. Maybe we'll put it a little bit out there a little bit earlier if we can on Sunday and get you a good preview to get you ready for the American League Division Series. Yankees move on. An impressive 2-game win over the Indians. Although they came in much different fashions, they still scored 22 runs over those 2 games to advance to the next round. All right, we'll see you Monday with Savages in the Box. Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.